So happy to be welcoming to the program today, David Cashman of SEB Housing, to chat a little bit about an affordable housing lottery that is happening right here in the city of Quincy. So, Mr. Cashman, nice to virtually meet you. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's the first I'd heard, number one, of SEB Housing, and number two, of the Finn Building in Quincy Center. So maybe we could start there and tell me a little bit about what SEB Housing is.
Yeah, sure. We're an offsite affordable housing consultant. We get hired by developers and management teams across the state of Massachusetts that have projects with an affordable component. In many of the jobs that we're hired on, there is a mix of both market rate units. Typically, the market rate units are more predominant. There's usually about 75% of the building will be market rate. And then there'll be an affordable component. And we will help them with the programming for the affordable component because there are a lot of rules and regulations around qualifying applicants and examining their income and assets to determine program eligibility. And there are requirements around how the opportunity needs to be marketed, how you run a lottery, and how you basically get from marketing all the way up to tenants occupying units. And so we sort of help along the way. We also work on homeownership developments too. So we do a little bit of both.
Okay. Now, are you a kind of a affiliate with the state at all, or you're a private entity?
Private entity.
Okay. And how does a developer connect with SEB Housing? You know, how does that relationship happen?
Yeah, I mean, we do marketing like most any other business, but I think the vast majority of our clients come to us through word of mouth. We have, I think, a good reputation in the state among people in the affordable housing arena who will recommend us to developers. Oftentimes you have developers who are new to this. They may have never done a project with an affordable component. They really don't sort of know how to go through that process or who they can have help them. So we get a lot of nice referrals from other, from towns or from the Department of Housing and Community Development and other people involved in affordable housing. We also have a number of clients who have done many projects and who come back to us more than once.
Okay. So the Finn Building, which developer are you working with for that here in Quincy?
Yeah, that's Marcus Real Estate Management is the developer, or maybe it's Marcus Real Estate Investments is the developer and Martin Real Estate Management is the management company. This is a new client for us, and we've been working with them for I think about a year now and helping them through the process.
Okay. And this is 1431 Hancock Street, which is right in Quincy Center. Do you know, is it a new building or is it a renovation of an older existing building?
This is a renovation, I'm quite sure, of an existing building.
Okay. So how does the process work, David? What happens once a developer contacts you?
There are, you have to put together what's called an affirmative fair housing marketing plan that describes in detail how you are going to market this opportunity, what the application and lottery process will look like, how you will screen applicants for eligibility, and you have to sort of spell out how you're going to move through the entire process. So we work with the developer, there's information that they need to provide to us, and then we sort of assemble the package for submission to both the city and the state for approval. Once you have that approval, you then have to, well, depending on when you get that approval relative to when the units are going to be ready, you're not allowed to start marketing the opportunity more than 6 months before when the units are ready. So we've actually had approval for some time, but we weren't sure if we were in that 6 month window. Once we then entered that 6 month window, we then coordinate with the development team on beginning the marketing period. The marketing period is really a marketing and application period. So it has to, by program rules, last for 60 days. So, and we'll post the ad on our website and a couple of other affordable housing websites. We'll place some newspaper ads. We will send flyers to a number of community contact groups in and around Quincy to try and spread the word. We invite them to spread the word. And then households who are interested need to submit an application during that 60-day window before the deadline. Applications here must be delivered by June 25th. As they come in, we'll process them and we will communicate with the applicants about the status of their applications. And we will then let households know if they're eligible or if they may be ineligible for the program. Perhaps they make too much money, they're over the income limits, or if they're incomplete, if there's anything missing. And then ultimately, once the deadline passes and we've processed all the applications, that will be followed by a lottery. And we'll conduct a lottery with all of the eligible households. And the lottery is a little bit different than many lotteries, because oftentimes when you think of a lottery, you think of, you know, like people will often ask, who gets picked? You know, will I get picked? And sort of who wins and who loses? These are a little bit different because everyone gets picked. Everyone who's eligible for the lottery will get their number picked. But what happens is you then have to arrange the numbers by order in a priority to create waiting lists. And the waiting list will be ordered in priority in terms of who's going to get to move forward first. So everyone's going to be on the waiting list, but they'll just be in different positions. And the position that a household has on the waiting list determines the order they get to move to the next step, which is to apply for a lease with the management team.
So how does that position get determined?
It gets determined by a number of factors, although for this development, probably not as many. Oftentimes, so one of the factors is where do you get picked? So that's sort of obvious. Getting picked first is better than getting picked last, right? So where you get picked in the order is relevant. A household size for many lotteries is also a very relevant factor, because the program requires that we give priority to larger households for larger units, right? So, a one-person household could apply for a three-bedroom unit, but even if they're picked first, they're gonna get skipped over by five-person households who need all three bedrooms. That's actually not applicable in this lottery, so I shouldn't confuse things, because here you only have studio units and one-bedroom units. So household size actually doesn't really matter. What's ultimately going to matter is where a household gets picked in the lottery drawing. Do they qualify for local preference or not?
Oh, so Quincy residents will get preference in this case?
For some of the units, for 11 of the units, yep.
So for half of them, then. Okay.
For half of them, yes. Yeah. So for 11 of the one-bedroom units, having local preference will give a household priority as contrasted to a household who doesn't have it. There's also a one-bedroom unit that has features built out for persons with mobility impairments, oh. And any household who needs those features will get priority on that list as compared to households who don't.
Okay. Is it basically first come, first serve when it comes to who gets, you know, the position of the pick, if you will?
No, so it's every household, you mean in terms of moving forward after the lottery, or you mean creating the waiting list?
Creating the waiting list, I should say.
No, the waiting list is created by the factors we talked about,
okay.
Right?
So
everyone gets picked in the lottery, then we see, okay, for these 11 one-bedrooms, who has local preference? They're
okay.
Going to get a priority. The households who don't, won't. On the disabled list, who needs those features, who doesn't? So we have to... Stated differently, when I do the lottery drawing and I'm picking the numbers, we don't know exactly who's going to be where mm-hmm. for a number of reasons, because I don't know if you've applied for a studio unit. I don't know if you've applied for a one-bedroom unit. I don't know if you've applied for both. I don't know if you have local preference. I don't know if you have mobility impairments and need those features. So we do the drawing, and then within a couple hours after the drawing, I will send around the waiting list, which will be ordered top to bottom. Here's where you are, you know, you're number five, you're number
okay.
eight, you're number 15, right?
Okay.
And those waiting lists will then be used to determine the order moving forward, which is to apply for a lease. And the leasing office will use those waiting lists to determine how they're going to invite households.
Okay, I get you. So it's not like a mad dash, as long as you get your application in by the deadline. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay, good to know. So as I mentioned, there are 22 different units available this time around. And what are the income eligibility guidelines?
Yeah, so the income limits are based on the household size that's applying. Okay, so you could have a different income limit for two households who are both applying for a one bedroom. It doesn't depend, it's not tied to the bedroom size, it's tied to the number of people that are applying.
Okay.
For a household size of one, it's a little over $70,000. For a household size of two, it's a little over $80,000. And for a household size of three, it's a little over $90,000.
Okay, those are pretty generous. Are those set by the state?
Yeah, so those are set actually by HUD.
Oh,
HUD
okay.
publishes these income limits every year in April. And these figures are based off of the HUD numbers from this past April of 2021.
Okay.
Now, tied to that, and I don't know if you were going to ask this question, but oftentimes rents are actually also based off of those income limits, with the idea that a household shouldn't be spending more than 30% of their income on rent.
Right. Yeah.
In this case, the rents are actually tied, I believe, to the 65% income limits. So what that means is that these rents are actually going to be lower, quite a bit lower than other similar affordable housing projects, which also means there's this greater sort of window of eligibility where households, they can make up to this amount, but the rent is based off of a lower income tier.
Okay.
It should make them more affordable even than other affordable housing opportunities.
Yeah, okay, and that's unique to this Finn building property then, is it?
There are other developments, but it's the exception, not the rule.
Okay, what are the rents?
The rents are $1,334 for a studio unit and $1,409 for a one-bedroom unit.
Okay, all right. And again, with those income guidelines in place. So yeah, that is certainly is affordable, especially here in Quincy these days, the way things are going in the real estate market. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now it may be useful to note as well that, in this program, households, and this does not apply to anyone who has a voucher. So what I'm about to say, anyone with a voucher can disregard. Voucher holders can use their vouchers, assuming their authority says it's okay. But aside from that, households who are going to be paying the rent do need to show that they have enough income to support the rent.
Okay.
So a way to think about it is that this program sort of caters to a slice of the population, a window. You make under this amount, this is the ceiling, you have to make less, but you make enough that you can demonstrate that you to the leasing office that you're actually going to be able to pay your rent.
Okay.
And so this is not a program requirement, it's a management team requirement.
Gotcha.
Because they want to make sure that the people will be able to afford the rent. So now that is based on the unit size that you're applying for. So for a studio unit, the household would have to show that they make about $48,000. That can include their assets, if they have assets they can draw down from. Or for a one bedroom, it's a little under $51,000.
Okay. And how do they prove that? Just pay stub basically?
Yeah, I mean, well, so for SEB, when a household is submitting a program application, we have to do a pretty thorough review of
okay.
their income and assets. So we're looking at bank statements, we're looking at taxes, 1099s, W-2s, pay stubs, all of those things.
Okay.
A management team, but we're not doing a lease screening. We're not a management team. We're a program screener.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say a household's eligible for the lottery, we're saying they're eligible for the program. The leasing office may look at those same documents. They may look at fewer. They may look at them a little differently. Perhaps they'll look at something we didn't ask for, but
mm-hmm.
always a good distinction to keep in mind. A household could be program eligible, but not lease eligible,
yep.
or vice versa, but you have to be both.
Yeah. Now, are there any time limits on the lease, once it is approved, or is it just at the discretion of the management?
In terms of when a household has to move in, you mean?
Correct. And how long they can stay there?
Well, typically leases are a year.
Yep.
And then, I can't say exactly when the management team will expect approved lottery households to be able to move in. That's something a lottery household would have to speak to the management team about. And so in this program, leases have to be a minimum of a year. They could be longer.
Okay.
Usually they're a year. And then a household has to recertify or demonstrate each year if they're going to sign a new lease that they continue to be eligible for the program.
Right, if their income changes, right? If their eligibility changes.
Correct. Now, keep in mind the program builds in a buffer. So a recertifying household can make about $30,000 more than a brand new household and still be program eligible. The
Okay.
program doesn't want a household who initially qualifies, maybe gets a little bit of a bump or a raise at work, to then immediately get kicked out on year two. They want to build in a window there.
Okay, some stability certainly, especially if it's a family.
Right.
How are these apartments selected, David? How does the developer determine which ones are going to be affordable?
Yeah, good question. Well, in this one, it's easy because they're all affordable. So there's no selecting that they have to do. That's not usually the case. In other developments, they usually have to put together a collection that's representative of the units in the building as a whole, that's equitable. The units have to be kind of on different floors in different parts of the building, et cetera. But none of that's applicable here because the only units are all, they're all affordable.
Okay, it's the whole development essentially.
Whole development.
Okay, very, very good. And this is all mandated then by state law that you're adhering to, right?
Yeah, the Department of Housing and Community Development puts out rules and regulations and standards that we have to follow in implementing the program. And Quincy also has in the permitting has some stipulations and requirements that that have to be followed as well.
Okay. Is there any cost to apply for the applicant?
No.
Okay. I know there's going to be an informational session actually tonight, right? May 24th.
And in the informational session, that's, we go over a number of the things that, you and I have gone over here, probably cover a little bit more detail. It's a good place for households to ask questions, but not the only place, and a lot of times, a household may not know exactly what their questions are until they've started to apply and they've started
Right.
to dig in. And then, they can call us or email us, and that's what we're here for, to help with.
Okay, it's a virtual session we should mention so folks can participate online.
Correct.
And then when is the lottery?
The lottery is July 7th.
Okay, very good. Anything else we should let folks know about right now, do you think?
No, just that this is a great opportunity, I think. You don't even have to, for the lottery, you don't have to submit all of your income and asset documentation. So getting into the lottery is a little bit easier than some of the other lotteries we run. But eventually, households moving forward will have to submit all of those documents to demonstrate their program eligibility. But just to get into the lottery, you fill out the application. You don't have to submit all the supporting documentation, and hopefully that's shouldn't take too long. And then you could see where you land in the lottery results. And this is a great opportunity, and we hope that a lot of households will apply.
Yeah. Can you apply for more than one development, do you know?
You can, and many households do.
Okay.
Yep.
Trying to obviously get whatever one they can, right?
Yeah, and that's, that's in, they should, households shouldn't apply for any lottery that interests them, and we're not the only ones doing lotteries. There are other groups that do them as well. And if there's another property if they're interested in, they should, throw their hat in the ring for as many as they can.
Sure. All right. Good phone number and website for folks, David, if they'd like to learn more.
Yeah, so this is up on our website, www.s ebhousing.com. You can also call us 617-782-6900 extension 1.
Very good. Appreciate your time. Great to talk to you.
You as well. Appreciate you having me on.
So you're very welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.